A new generation of Israelites is preparing to enter the land of Canaan. And if they're going to avoid the failures and sins of their fathers, they need to remember the past. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us to Deuteronomy chapters 8 and 9 to eavesdrop on the advice that Moses gives his people. I suggest you listen carefully, as it's also important for us today. But first, God is on the move in Bangladesh, and Greg and I have some exciting things to share with you.
Oh, we do, Steve, and I have had the immense privilege and honor of representing Through the Bible, traveling to Bangladesh at the Genesis, when there were only about 100 groups, home groups of Through the Bible in Bangladesh.
Yeah, we were together in India before then, and you sent me to another country.
I sent you to go hiking in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
So that was a great trip. We experienced the power that God is working through the ministry.
Yeah.
But I apologize. You could have come with me, but you seemed like you really wanted to go, you know, listeners in the Himalayas.
With Simon in Nepal was wonderful.
Yeah, but it was a great trip. But the most important thing is not that. It's just that God is at work in Bangladesh. And that was several years ago. That was a couple of years before COVID. I think it was 2018, something like that.
Yeah.
Now today, the ministry is exploding. Now we have four different Bangladesh languages. Of course, we started with Bengali, which is the main language of Bangladesh. But Usai, Bon, Maru, and Pankhua. I'm probably butchering
some of it.
But, you know, our partners know these languages. And this is important. In 2021, this is during the lockdown.
Yeah, like a year ago.
Yeah. There were 23 home group leaders training events. That's where they bring people in and they train them to be basically pastors over these home groups. Very exciting that they did that. 23 different events in a year of lockdown.
Yeah. And now there are over 2,800 radio home groups in that country, in Bangladesh alone.
And Bangladesh is a predominantly Muslim country. So this is fantastic.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. Let's read some letters
because this
is the most exciting part. Here's one that starts. And whenever you hear this start with, think of Islam when you hear this other faith reference. Mm-hmm. I come from another faith and my parents still practice it. I believe in Jesus. But you've taught me how to have complete faith in him and to understand there is eternal life in Christ. I am glad I received Jesus as my Savior through this training, and I will live my life from now on trusting him.
Yeah, Steve, just before we just go to the next one, just stop and remember how incredibly powerful this is to be sowing the seed of God's word in these places where people have almost never heard of the truth of the gospel. Okay, here's another one. Talk about whether things get real or not when people listen to Through the Bible in their own language. My marriage was a shambles. In many areas, I disagreed with my wife. We began to live separately. Our children suffered greatly because of this. I began to pray to God for his grace to humble both of us.
Mm.
God heard my prayers, and we listened to your teaching. We were able to solve our problems and reconcile 2 years later. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and peace.
Man, so encouraging. I think we have time for one more. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and am grateful. I was given a new outlook on life, and I believe this training will have a long-term impact on my life. Through study, I've learned how to develop a personal relationship with Christ.
Wow, so powerful.
Greg, we got just a little bit of time left. Why don't you pray for us as we begin our study in Deuteronomy chapter 8?
Father, we are just filled to overflowing with gratitude that you let us give your word to hungry hearts and souls in far-flung places around the world like Bangladesh and languages that we've never heard of. But Lord, all of the people hearing it are created by you and are meant to have a relationship with you. We pray that you will keep using these home groups to reach many people with the gospel and build them up in their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come today to the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we've come into another division of this book, according to our outline of it. We have here now religious and national regulations. Now, in this section, Moses is restating the law, and the great emphasis here is upon love and obedience. That is the important thing. You would think here in Deuteronomy, especially in the Old Testament and in this section that gives the law, that it would be law and obedience. But it's not. It's love and obedience. And you'll recall back in chapter 7, in verse 7, The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Never a great nation, numerically, would not compare to the Chinese, or to India, or to other great nations of the world. Verse 8, he says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. God makes it very clear that when he heard their cry down there, that distress cry, he responded because he loved them. Now, what is the answer to the love of God? Well, it's obedience. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, God will bless any people that respond to his love, and the response is obedience. And today, the first response he asks of you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When you respond to that, then he has other things to talk to you about, your life. And when we respond in obedience to the love of God, blessing ensues. Now in the 8th chapter here, we have religious and national regulations, and we have God's past dealings, our assurance for the future. Now notice this, here's a new generation. They are on the east bank of the Jordan River. They're ready to cross over into the land with high anticipation and hope. And now Moses is preparing them to enter the land. In all this section here, listen to him now, and this is remarkable section also. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. You see, preparing them to enter the land, and they are to obey. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Now, we have a marvelous revelation of God in his dealings with us today here. He wants us to remember the past. Paul put it like this for the believer, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are to remember that God has led you and blessed you. And that's true. I'm confident of many of you today. You can say, God's brought me up to this moment. Well, has he? Well, if he has, he'll continue to do it. Now, God is encouraging them here and giving them an assurance for the future to tell them to just remember. Remember all the way that the Lord God. Now, why did God test them in the wilderness? Well, it was to humble them and to prove them, to know what was in their heart. Now, that explains why God puts you and me through the mill. God sometimes puts us in the furnace, friends, and he heats it up very hot. Why? He tests us, and it humbles us, too. And I tell you, I think Christians need humbling today. You know, little man is proud. He's cocky. He's self-confident. And I'll be honest with you, he's an abomination, little man. Have you ever listened to some of these people boast and brag about what they do and how proud they walk this earth? Little man shouldn't walk this earth like that. And so God, for his own, he puts them through the mill in order that he might humble us and that he might prove us. You know, testing really brings out the metal that's in a person. If he's really a child of God, that's the thing that really is the test when trials and troubles come. And I think that's the reason today that our churches are filled with the affluent people. They've never been tested. You can't tell whether they're genuine or not because they've never been tested. It's the man that's been tested. That's the man that you need to look to. And that's the man that you know is genuine. You know, metal has to be tested like that. Now, God says he did that for that reason. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, this was quoted by the Lord Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. And if we didn't have that, you'd never dream that our Lord would turn to this place right here. But this is a great spiritual lesson for us today. Friends, God's been good to us. He's blessed us in many, many ways. And he's blessed us with many material things. But you see, the important thing is that God gives you those things in order that you might see that there is spiritual wealth and that it's the Word of God that is the real wealth for the child of God today. Now, here is without doubt one of the most, well, it's a strange statement, but it's a marvelous statement and it's a miraculous statement. Listen to this, verse 4, thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now imagine having a suit of clothes that would not wear out. Now, I know the ladies wouldn't like this at all. It'd be bad to come up after the first year, the 40 years, and the lady go to the man and say, look, hubby, I need a new dress. Why, he says, that one looks brand new. And I tell you, when you do that 40 years, you get pretty far behind in the styles. But after all, styles didn't change there in the wilderness anyway, so it didn't really make much difference. But this is marvelous. But that's not the most marvelous thing. It's this. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. A medical missionary in the Philippines came to me many years ago when I was teaching the book of Deuteronomy here in Pasadena, California, in a church I served here. And he said, have you ever noticed that he says that neither did thy foot swell these 40 years? And I said, no, and frankly, I didn't know what he was talking about, to tell the truth. Well, he said, I'll tell you what he was talking about. He says, the disease out in the Orient, because of the sameness of diet, and he says, I've treated many cases, is the swelling of the foot, and beriberi, he called it. And he said, that comes about because of a sameness of diet, that they're not getting all their vitamins and they're not getting all the nourishment they should have. Now, what did these folk eat for 40 years? Manna. God told them down here that he fed them with manna. It was a miracle food. And the interesting thing is their foot didn't swell, which meant they got all their vitamins in manna. Manna was a wonderful food, and it's to illustrate, as he says here, the Word of God. And, you know, the thing about the Bible is this, and I marvel at this. Some folk will write me about a certain message I give, and they say, you know, I was in trouble, and that chapter is the chapter that brought me to God, and it brought comfort to my heart. Somebody else read, said I was in sin. I'd gotten away from God, cold and indifferent. And that brought me. And then somebody else writes and says, I listened and I was saved. You know, you won't get swelling of the foot, my friend, if you read the Word of God. In other words, the Bible will meet your individual need, whatever it is. This is manna that we're having here. This is such a wonderful chapter, and I'm already bogged down here, and I shouldn't do that. Will you notice the temporal blessings that he promised to them? He says in verse 5 here, thou shalt also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains, depths that spring out of the valley, a land of wheat and barley. God promised to the nation Israel temporal blessings if they served him. Now, he does not promise that to Christians today. I would have you note this. This is so important because there is a lopsided notion that if you are today a faithful Christian, that God will prosper you temporally, that he'll prosper you with the things of this world. That, my friend, is not true. Now, wait just a minute. Will you hear me? There have been a few outstanding, successful businessmen. And this attracts other businessmen that are not so successful. These men say, I took God into partnership and God blessed me abundantly. Well, hallelujah. He does that sometimes. I admit that. But that's not what he promised you. He promised you blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Now, he's promised you that. And he'll make good on spiritual blessings. But you can't show me a verse in the New Testament where God has promised to bless you temporally as a child of God. May I say, he hasn't promised that. But, you know, God's always overdoing it. He gives us more. And when he does that for some, does not mean he'll do it for all. Now, I have met some very wonderful Christians that God has prospered financially, and they're well off, and I thank God for them. But I also want to say this to you. Some of the choicest children of God today, they've only been blessed spiritually and not with the things of this world. And they seem to be the happiest, by the way. And they seem actually to do more for God than anyone else. I could tell you some remarkable stories about how God has used certain, actually, as far as the things of this world are concerned, they were poor in those things. And yet, what a wealth of blessing they have been to this poor preacher and have been to the cause of Christ in the world today. God promised Israel temporal blessings. He's promised us spiritual blessings. And that's one of the many major distinctions between the nation Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. And let's keep that straight, will you? Because it will prevent a great deal of heartache. And it will cause a great many children of God to rejoice and not lapse back into a backslidden condition. We've seen that happen many times. Now he says in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And this is a warning, you see, and he'll emphasize that warning in the next chapter. Now, will you notice verse 15? Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought the fourth water out of the rock of flint. You see, God reminds them of what he's done for them in the past. And then he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And God has promised to bring this nation as the leading nation into the millennium that's into the future. Now, God has not promised the church that, friends. Don't appropriate that for yourself. The Lord Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and take you to myself. That is the hope of the child of God today, is the coming of Christ to take us out of this world. The hope of the nation Israel is in this world. And that, my friend, is something we need to make a distinction about. It'll cause utmost confusion if you try to mix these together. There are too many theologians that use a blender. They put the whole Bible in the blender, and believe me, they can really mix it up. And when you got it mixed up, you can't tell what's in there. No wonder we have so much confusion. Now, verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. When that nation is in that land and being prospered, you know they're obeying God. And if they're not being prospered in that land, they're not obeying God. Look at them today. You make your own decision. Now, verse 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. This is God's warning to them. I'm putting you in that land. Now, if you're obedient unto me, I'll bless you. And if you're not obedient unto me, I'll treat you as I treated those nations that were in that land. Fact of the matter is, God treated them lots worse than he treated the nations that were in that land. Why, you say, I didn't know that. Oh, yes, he did. And you know why? they had more light. Light creates responsibility before God. Now, as we move into chapter 9 here, God knew Israel, and their past was not good. Listen to this as we move into this chapter. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day. He's not talking now about the 24-hour day, but they've now come to that time when they're going to enter the land. You're to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? God's report of the land is worse than the spies that came back. You see, God knew the land, and God knew who was in there. God told them to go in. They wouldn't go in. Why? They didn't believe God. God says, sure, they're greater than you are, but I'm with you. Martin Luther put it like this. He says, one with God is a majority. My friend, if you are with God, you're with the majority. Now, I belong to a minority group down here today, but I'm going to let you in on something. The world doesn't know it, but I'm with the majority today. You see, one with God is a majority. I want to be with him, friends. Now, will you notice as he moves on here, he says, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He'll destroy them. You want to blame God for that, my friend? He takes the responsibility. God says, I'm the one put them out. God's the landlord. He's the creator. God has a right to do this. And after all, the little creatures today, when I hear a liberal complain about this, I just feel like saying, you little pipsqueak, you keep quiet. You and I are just little creatures down here. He's the creator, and if he says he's going to do it this way, he's going to do it that way, and you and I can't stop him, friends. He shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. In other words, God says that he drove them out because they were wicked nations, not because the people he were putting in there were righteous. They were not, as this chapter makes it abundantly clear. And he goes on, verse 5, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know the reason that God will save you and me? It's not because we're good, we're sinners. But he saves us because Christ died for us, and God says, I agreed to save them. And it's for Christ's sake we're saved, friends, not for our sake. Oh, if you are listening today and you think somehow or another that God's looking for something in you that will merit salvation, you forget it, because you're going to be disappointed. And God already knows you, and he says he can't find anything there. No righteousness at all. It's for Christ's sake that God saves you, and God finds everything in him. How wonderful it is. You see, you have here the seed for the gospel of the grace of God in this remarkable section of Scripture. Now he again repeats it, verse 6, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. Listen, for thou art a stiff-necked people. God didn't come down and deliver them because they were a wonderful people. He said, well, I knew all the time you were stiff-necked people. I heard you cry. And my friend, if you're a sinner, know it. And you lift a cry to him for salvation, he'll hear you. You know why? Not because of who you are, but for Christ's sake. And he'll turn to Christ in faith. He'll save you. This is a wonderful section of Scripture. Sorry I didn't get any farther. But we'll move along next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that was a great study. You can listen to it again anytime at ttb.org, or you can download our app to listen whenever you want. And 1-800-65-BIBLE is a great number to keep in your cell phone, because you can call or order our Bible Bus flash drive. And with that, it contains all of Dr. McGee's five-year studies, as well as his notes and outlines, and more than 100 of his digital books. Well, that's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here next time.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?